The FBI has a new program to improve communication with companies about cyber threats. The Bureau has seen an 85% rise in cyber investigations over the past 5 years. The increased workload is a challenge, but on top of that, there hasn't been a clear way that companies seeking help can send information to the FBI. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us to discuss the FBI's latest attempt to standardize information sharing on cyber. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So, Jason, tell us about this new program.
Well, just this past Monday, the FBI launched the iGuardian program. Now, this is a cousin to the eGuardian program, which many people have probably heard of. eGuardian collection shares terrorism-related information. Rick McFeely is the FBI's Executive Assistant Director for Criminal, Cyber, and Response Services Branch. He says the pilot will include about 58,000 companies.
We needed to expand Guardian for a way for them to report things to us electronically, picking up the phone and calling your local field office work. But we even found that our local field offices were not getting the proper amount of information, the right information. It was not standardized. So we came up with this template. We have rolled it out on the Internet in a trusted portal. We're going to pilot it now for the next couple months within the InfraGuard network. It's using their actual portal that they use for their members. If it is successful, we're hoping that this is something that we have at one point are going to be able to roll out universally to a much wider audience. Obviously, our concern is the critical infrastructure sectors that are out there. They'll probably be the next up.
Now, McFeely spoke yesterday at the AFCEA Global Intelligence Forum in Washington. He compares this reporting tool, this new one, to a common police report that covers all the bases of what happened and when and to whom. He says in the past, companies would tell the FBI they had a cyber intrusion, or actually the FBI would tell companies many times based on their intelligence efforts that, hey, we think you had a problem. And what this will do is say this is going to make things easier. Now, I caught up with McFeely after the panel, and he says through iGuardian, every report to the FBI will include the same data describing what happened.
So the first thing we're going to do is go back to them and work with them to analyze their logs, their NetFlow data, all with their consent, and try to help them determine whether or not they've actually had a hack. A lot of the indicators that they pull out, if they identify certain malware, we can take that back to our shop, analyze it, and decide whether or not that this is something we've seen elsewhere. And if it is, there's a couple things we do with that. It gives us a better understanding of who the adversary is, but we'll strip out their data, and we'll go back to the other company that had been hacked and get best practices from them that they can share to help them mitigate their threats. So we kind of act like the go-between.
Now, he says this is very similar to the work they do with fingerprints. If one police department, you know, finds a fingerprint at a crime scene, they send it to the FBI, and the FBI looks through all the law enforcement databases to see if there's a match, and then they send it back to the police department. So they act as that, as you said, the go-between.
58,000 companies have access to this. Is the FBI ready to handle all this information? Should a bunch of them send in something at once?
I mean, that's a big question because there's a huge amount of data that could be coming. But I think few things will help manage this influx of information. First, the fact that they're standardizing it, that's going to help the analysis. That's going to help look for problems in a way that they haven't been able to do before because there's one, you know, the lexicon, it's all going to be the same. Secondly, I think McFeely says the FBI isn't sure every one of those 50,000 companies will submit data.
We're curious to see what kind of response we're going to get with that. We have the NCIJTF, the National Cyber Investigative Joint Task Force, is fully staffed to handle the influx of that data. But it's going to be individual FBI field office and the cyber task forces that are in those field offices that are actually going to be the ones interfacing with the companies. It's going to be something that may be very resource intensive, especially as we expand this program. And part of what we're going to assess is what exactly are we going to have to need to resource this. So that's a huge question for us right now.
Now, you heard McFeely mention the NCIJTF. It includes 19 agencies which have come together to share cyber threat information and coordinate cyber operations. The NCIJTF helps identify and address cyber threats and vulnerabilities before, you know, the bad guys can exploit the weaknesses, and these efforts really are just part of a broader solution. McFeely says the FBI will have to deal with a lot of false positives or even a hack that's been stopped that didn't cause damage. When the companies still send that in, that's something that FBI analysts will have to look at and say, okay, this is something that we're not going to pursue. There's only so many things that they can do, and they have to really focus on where the biggest threats are or are coming from.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. All right, Jason, we've been talking about information sharing for a long time. So how is this idea changing?
I think it's emerging, the idea of what information sharing is, because of the threat data, where they find it, and even how to share it. Troy Mattern is the technical director for cyber intelligence at the Software Engineering Institute at the Carnegie Mellon University. He says one industry sector already is changing the information sharing lexicon.
The financial sector has recently started using slightly different language, saying that information sharing is not sufficient. What we really need is analytic collaboration. And there's a difference there. I mean, it's one thing to just give you some of my data and show you what's happened. It's another thing for us to sit down and recognize that this is a community problem. You know, sometimes it's a sector problem, what have you. But it's not just my organization. It's not just your company. And then to sit down and look at that and try to figure out what's actually going on and how does it affect us more broadly together. That's different.
So Mattern says the government needs to help industry improve how they use intelligence and understand the legal and ethical issues associated with using intelligence. Now, part of this reason for the change in information is because industry is actually becoming more adept at using intelligence to understand threats. This is interesting because usually the government's had the corner or the market on intelligence, but what contractors are seeing, whether it's Lockheed Martin or smaller ones, like you saw the Mandiant report, they're all thinking, well, this cyber threat is so real, we have to do more. We have to understand how to understand what the threat is and how to obviously to stop the threat. So Richard Howard is the Vice President and Chief Information Security Officer at TASC. He's also a former Army cyber official. He says the defense industrial base and the financial services sector understand that you can no longer defend your network's perimeter.
They have realized that it's okay to accept that the bad guy's going to get into your perimeter, and what do you do about it, right? They understand the value of the kill chain. So we know as a community that the bad guy has to be successful in six areas. He's got a recon. He's got to develop a weapon that can get by whatever he noticed on the recon. He's got to deliver the weapon. He's got to execute the weapon, right? And then he's got to establish command and control so we can give him more stuff to do. And then he's got to do what he was supposed to do in the meantime, which is either exfiltrate documents or go lateral on the network. The bad guy has to be successful at all seven of those missions or he fails. All right, so that's the good news for us. All we have to do is stop him at one of those locations. And that is the new thinking going on in the financial sector, ISAC, and the defense industrial base.
Now, Howard says companies and the government are developing indicators of where the compromise happened in each one of those six areas the hacker needs to be successful in. He says that's leading to a transformation of incident response centers where they're focusing on actionable intelligence and giving analysts information to disseminate more broadly to business or agency leaders. Howard says the end goal is to share indicator information without ruining the business. Now, that's the key of any cyber. Can we protect our networks without stopping the flow of commerce? The Software Engineering Institute's Mattern says ODNI actually asked that organization to create a report on the state of cybersecurity intelligence today. SEI issued that report this past January. It looked at about 30 organizations, six of which were government, and the other 24 came from the commercial sector and a broad swath of the commercial sector, whether it's academia or retail or government contractors or wherever else. Now, Mattern says the goal was to evaluate what is the state of cyber intelligence across five specific domains and figure out what was working and what wasn't. Mattern says SEI will actually release two more white papers based on that research by the end of the calendar year, one on training and education cyber intelligence in the private sector, but also one on how to implement the framework that actually came from this January 2013 report. We do have a link to that January 2013 report on federalnewsradio.com.
Jason, when companies submit information on cyber attacks to this iGuardian system, and the FBI sees it, and these 19 agencies that are part of that task force get to look at it, do the other companies get to see what's going on?
So what he'll do is they'll anonymize the information and then send it out. So if it comes from, let's pick on Walmart for a second, if Walmart says we're seeing this attack, and they send it to iGuardian, the FBI and the task force will look at the information, take on anything that could be related to Walmart, and maybe pass it to other people in the retail network and say, here is a attack, here's an indicator that we're seeing from a large retail organization, make sure you're not seeing the same thing. They'll kind of use it that way. It also will be shared internally within government, obviously through U.S. CERT. FBI works closely with the U.S. CERT to ensure that the government obviously is not seeing the very similar indicators on its networks.
And the 58,000 companies that are part of this whole InfraGuard program that the FBI runs, are they all U.S. companies or any in Canada, say, or Mexico, the same hemisphere?
So he didn't get into who the companies are, but my guess is it's all U.S.-based companies since it's an FBI. Now, I could imagine there's some international pieces, but I think most are U.S. companies.
All right. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. We thank you for that report.
Always a pleasure.